Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We have Kim Skinner on the line today. She's a director of physical therapy at Helius Medical Technologies, and we're going to be discussing her work with the patients with problems with chronic brain deficit. So welcome, Kim.
Hi.
That's so nice to have you on the show today. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with brain injuries and rehabilitation?
Sure. Thanks for having me. I'm used to be at a researcher at the University of Wisconsin in Madison and did a lot of work there with people with neurological issues due to several different things. And our primary work was done in traumatic brain injury, mild to moderate traumatic brain injury. And so we worked with patients who had chronic balance problems or problems walking because of their balance. And we have developed a treatment program using a medical device that does neuromodulation. And basically, when you do physical therapy using the device, it helps patients improve their balance. And it's a program that we've developed and is now available in Canada.
Wow. So do they have to continue using this device forever to keep stimulating the brain, or is it a therapy that actually gets the brain working on its own?
Yeah, we don't think so. We think that when you use it, it's a 14-week program, and when you use it with targeted therapy directed to your problems are, what your issues are, that you create enough neuroplastic changes in the brain through either direct connections, so one synapse connects to another synapse, or possibly generating a new pathway because that original pathway is blocked because of your injury, or maybe because of the chemical changes in the brain that are initiated through the training process, then those changes become permanent. So eventually, as long as you continue to be active, your changes will last.
Okay. What exactly is chronic brain deficit?
So you might be referring to chronic balance deficit if you're looking at, let's say CBD, is that what you're...
Okay, yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically a problem that you have, a chronic means a long time, and so you had a brain injury, and sometimes when you fall and you hit your head, or if you are... get hit on the head with something, your brain gets kind of jostled around. It has some people call it a concussion or a mild brain injury or in some cases moderate. And it affects your balance. And so you get other symptoms as well. But the reason that we've dealt with chronic balance deficit is because 30% of the people that get a mild to moderate traumatic brain injury continue to have balance problems even after years later. So there have been studies that show 1 to 4 years later, they'll still have a balance problem. So that's what we call chronic. Whereas, you know, if you might have something that happens, say you have a concussion, you know, like a football player or something, and you'll see them stagger off the field, well, that's an acute balance problem. And a lot of times that resolves. But like I said, 30% of the people basically have this becomes chronic and they can't get over it and they don't know what to do about how to get it.
Kim, do you think there's a lot of people out there that just give up and that there's nothing that can be done that are walking around with this balance deficit?
Yes, absolutely. A lot of people will go to regular physical therapy or some won't. Some people just figure this is what I have and they aren't even aware that physical therapy can help. And so a lot of people just muddle through. They just change their life to adapt to whatever their problems are and think that that's what they're stuck with. And those are the people that we're helping the most.
Mm-hmm. If we have somebody with the chronic balance deficit in our family or for a caregiver, what are some things that we could do to make their lives a little easier?
That's hard to say because everyone's, you know, problems are a little bit different. There are some people that have people that can, you know, caregivers that might help them with tasks. So a lot of times if you have a cognitive problem, you have trouble doing things like at the computer or doing your banking or doing your shopping, things like that. So caregivers will help with those kinds of tasks. But a lot of times once their balance improves, sometimes these other things will also improve, and so these tests become easier.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel a little off balance. How do you know when it's from a brain injury that that there's definite symptoms of what you call CBD, chronic balance deficit?
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are a lot of things that cause balance problems. Even as we age, our balance tends to get worse, and that's because of the vestibular system. And so once you hit 50, that can start to go. And so how do you know if it's just like a regular aging thing, or do I have another disease, or is it due to a brain injury? Typically, I would say if you had an event where you had a blow to the head, or you had a fall, or a motor vehicle accident is pretty obvious, but a lot of times those are severe. But even with a mild injury, you'll find a change in balance. And when you notice that it's correlated to an event that happens to you, then the balance problem is likely due to that injury.
Okay. And with new treatments and new technologies, can you tell me how you came about this portable neuromodulation stimulator and how it would work for you, how you go through this 14 weeks with it?
Right. So this is a device that was developed over time. It's been in development for years. And there's actually a long history of what we call neuromodulation, or kind of some kind of a stimulation to the brain. If you think of like electrical shock therapy that they used to do for people that had depression or that had convulsions, that's a form of neuromodulation. It's a form of use of electricity on the brain. And so it's been around for a long time. But the more recent use, I would say, since the 90s, 1990s or early 2000s, they've been exploring the potential for use of what we call non-invasive brain stimulation, so you don't have to do a surgery or you don't have to implant anything. Is there a way of stimulating the brain externally and seeing if we can get a change in behavior? And so this device basically, the concept developed over time, again, at the University of Wisconsin, starting out to think of substituting one sensation for another. For example, someone who's blind, if they can't see and they want to walk, they might use a cane. So that white cane is their sense using touch mm-hmm. for their eyesight. So that's a sensory substitution. And so the inventor of this, Paul Baccarita, he actually was thinking of, could we stimulate the skin using electrical stimulation somehow and use that stimulation to substitute for vision? And so if you think about, there's a game I used to play when I was a kid, when you'd hit, say, somebody draw a letter on my back and I have to guess what letter that is. So they would say, draw an S, and I would guess, oh, is that an S? So that's kind of what we did, or what they did back in the early days of this research, is they would take those that stimulation and kind of draw an S on your back. And so that was what they would quote-unquote see. And so they took that concept, and if they thought, well, if we can substitute for vision, can we substitute for the balance system or the vestibular system? And mm-hmm. so when we worked on that angle of research, we found that we were able to substitute for the vestibular system, but it required training. So you get sensory input, and the way we do it is it's through the tongue. You get stimulation through the tongue, which stimulates the cranial nerves that go into the motor control areas of the brain, and then you do therapy with it, so you can use that stimulation to help direct the target is balance, and then you train that balance, and that's when you get your neuroplastic changes. So it's kind of a long development of sensory substitution to neuromodulation.
Wow. Are you using brain scans as well to look at the brain and see what's actually going on, or you're just noticing through what's actually physically changing in their system?
Yeah, so we started with just physical changes and functional change, and then we thought, is there a way that we can look at this and learn more about it and see what we're activating? So we did some studies with functional MRIs and basically did some stimulation before. And then we did some stimulation, and then we did the fMRI before and after stimulation, And show differences of activation in the centers of the brain, again, where the motor control areas are in the cerebellum and in the pons. And so those two targeted areas help with motor control, and that's why we train balance, and that's why we train walking, so that people can get those changes when they're using the device.
Is this something that just stays on their tongue and they have it like all those 14 weeks, or you just come in and have it just for a therapy for 20 minutes, half an hour?
It'd be a great diet plan, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
No. No, you can't hold it for 14 weeks. You only use it during training.
Okay.
So the device, it's called the controller, goes around your neck, and then mm-hmm. it has a wire or a tether to the mouthpiece, and that mouthpiece goes on your tongue. It's got the electrodes on it, and it rests on your tongue, and you just push it towards the roof of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do your training, and then you you do your training every day, and then when you're done with your training, you take it out. You turn it off. It's very light. It's not uncomfortable in any way. You get to control the stimulation, how much you want to turn it up or turn it down.
Okay.
And once you do the therapy with your therapist, we have what's called PONS trainers. They're trained in this specialty area.
How long are the training sessions?
So the training sessions are generally about an hour all in total. But you do different things during that hour. So you'll put, use the device and do training for 20 minutes doing working on your balance. And you might do 20 minutes working on your walking. And then you might not use the device for 20 minutes and just do some exercises. So basically it's about an hour, which would be a typical physical therapy treatment. And you're doing different things during that hour for training.
So many of us have hit our heads, like, over the course of our lives. I mean, helmets weren't even something that you could find when we were kids. There was none of that safety. How many do you think are walking around with some sort of brain injury that we wouldn't even know about?
Yeah, probably more than you realize. It's not that uncommon. Like you said, I think when we were younger, did all kinds of things and hit our head, and who hasn't fallen off the, monkey bars at the playground? And, I never wore a helmet, but I probably have a brain injury. And they're showing now that, sometimes these mild brain injuries that you seem to recover from years later show some kind of a deficit. And, of course, the more severe, probably the more likely are to have something going on down the road. And that's not the case with everybody. I don't want to say that
yeah.
just because you have a head injury, you're going to have a problem later. But
how might it show up if we were going to have it?
I'm sorry?
How might it show up if we were going to have a problem down the road from a brain injury?
Yeah, so you might have some changes, some cognitive changes. You might have issues with some memory. It could eventually evolve into maybe some walking issues, but I don't know for sure. Those are things we're still exploring, that a lot of the researchers are still looking at. And a lot of times it's cognitive changes that sometimes we think are just, they're just getting old. Well, it might be something related to something that happened years and years ago. So the forgetfulness, or maybe the lack of concentration, or the inability to pay attention to things like that.
And there might be something we could do about it then too.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Kim, this is fascinating. We're going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the chronic balance deficit and what we could do.